Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime or whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Austin.
Hey, you guys.
I know you're going for like a WWE thing, but I couldn't recreate that at the moment.
The horn thing, the Discord, like, pew, 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 horn, like, got me into like a, I need to announce this like I'm friggin' in the WWE. Austin the something.
Austin the something. That sounds about right.
What rhymes with Austin? I can't think of anything.
Nothing. Boston.
That's it.
I'm Jocelyn. Jocelyn Austin.
Jostling what?
I don't know.
Is that going to be your, like, shtick if you were a wrestler? Like, the ball jostler Austin? Like, what
the fuck? I'll grab you by the ball. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
I've never been able to get in pro wrestling. I've never tried, admittedly. I'm sure I would, because you know me.
I do. I know you.
What?
I know. You know me. I would like wrestling.
Alex or Austin?
You. That was what you said.
Oh.
Just now.
No, it's the thing where I try to get into something, and all of a sudden, like, oh, hello, now I need to know every single aspect of this that's ever existed. And pro wrestling is such a big thing that I'd be like...
You can't.
I'm gonna be all in, and I just can't do that.
I don't even know what the current wrestling scene is like. I mean, just like, oh, like John Cena or something. Like, that's literally all I know. Or like The Undertaker. I feel like there's like problematic people in wrestling. Well, there's problematic people everywhere.
I don't know. I can't speak to it. I simply do not know.
In that case, let's move along. What else is going on?
Nothing good. It's been nothing but shit every day.
Same shit. Same shit every day.
It's getting worse.
I didn't know how much you wanted to like talk about what has been going on with you.
Ugh.
Because I didn't want to make you relive the trauma.
The foster dog's already gone because she's sick. And they're like, we need to observe her indefinitely. I'm like, okay, great. So I hurt the dog.
No, you did not. Austin didn't do anything. She was having medical issues prior to Austin fostering.
I still got her dog bed and her dog cage and all their dog food and dog medications and dog tanning bed and dog...
Dog tanning bed.
Her own little dog kitchenette. I don't know.
Oh, poor Jade. I mean, her, like, whole thing is so sad. She's got stuff going on with her legs, poor little girl, and then she's got heartworm. It's so sad. We just really hope that we hear some good news soon, because we really don't know anything, but...
I got rear-ended, and it was a nightmare. Like, it was, like, a nightmare. It's still a nightmare. It's going on still.
Did you want to talk about that?
What's there even to say?
Austin got rear-ended by some crazy fucking lady who ended up giving Austin fake information, and the cops were... So less than helpful, as per usual.
Surprising. I'm fucking Officer Jenny over here trying to arrest me.
Officer Jenny would have been more competent, to be honest with you.
At least she would arrest me. I could spend the night in jail because I had nowhere. I couldn't move. I was stuck. My car.
So Austin's been having a time. He's got a rental, though. So I'm not sure if I care about care for the rental car. The rental car was weird, but it's been one thing after another for you.
Oh,
I'm
my
so
God.
Sorry.
Meanwhile, it's 1 in the afternoon and it already looks like it's like 8 o'clock in the afternoon or at night because the sun sets so damn early.
I know. I feel like all I did was get up, and I got up at like 9 something, and then I had breakfast, and then I watched the episodes, and then bang, it's like 1 o'clock and here we are recording. And the day's almost over, and it's like, shit, I have stuff to do because I'm a poor planner, and I have to go out and get some last-minute Christmassy things. Are you on your phone? You've got a big reflection on your face.
Yes, I am on my phone. You know what? The reason you can see that reflection is because the sun's already so close to the horizon.
I know. Look at my picture on the screen. It's like,
You don't have your camera
on. Oh, my! I didn't turn my camera back on. Whoopsie doodle.
I can't see you anyway because you're in shadow.
Yeah, because the sun's coming in from behind me and there's nothing I can do.
You're like the secret Illuminati watching me, the 1984 Big Brother.
Living in
the
shadow person. Yeah. Yeah, so that's been your week. It's been a shit week. I'm just hoping it gets better.
I dropped ice cream on the floor. It was so sad.
Okay, one good thing, though, that came out of your whole car accident thing is because I was over visiting with Austin. We had to go get a battery for your key, your old car key, because you had to give it, you have to give your car to the collision place for them to fix it. So this finally motivated Austin to replace his car key battery because it was dead. So we go out, long story short, it's the wrong fucking battery. I'm so sorry.
Yes, we bought the wrong car battery. Or not car battery. Car key battery.
Car key battery. But it fell behind the couch. And if it didn't fall behind the couch, then you would never have known that you're like the remnants of the ice cream that you dropped a week ago were still under the couch.
It's a great thing that I wasted $11 buying the wrong battery. Then I had to drop the battery under the couch because I'm an idiot. No. Then I had to move the couch to get it. Then I had to realize there was a sticky residue under the couch from the ice cream I dropped 7 days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the ceramic plate or ceramic bowl was ruined. And then I had to get on my hands and knees and clean up the sticky residue. Then my pants split.
Oh, no.
With a giant ass fucking tear from the movement of cleaning up the residue. It was just one thing after another.
But see, you, this is a good positive thing.
No, no.
You could have been out in public.
I'm not going to be on my all fours in public.
You don't know. What if you drop something? Oh my God. What if you drop something at work and had to like go under your desk for something and then your pants ripped? Then what?
Then I guess everyone's getting an eyeful of Austin.
Oh, we watched Thomas the Tank Engine. That was really fun.
Oh my God.
I know all you people out there are like, what the fuck? That's a show for babies. But I tell you.
We had fun.
We had fun. It was fun psychoanalyzing Thomas.
Oh my God, that was a riot.
You guys don't know. If you've never watched Thomas the Tank Engine, do yourselves a favor. Go and watch it.
We are not recommending our adult listeners watch Thomas the Tank Engine. We are not doing that.
Okay, so we can recommend them watching Pokemon, sure.
Whatever. Well, they know what they're getting in for that.
Thomas is a journey.
I don't know if I would recommend Pokemon to anyone.
Wouldn't you?
No.
There's a lot of stuff to watch. I mean, it's not like a show that you'd be like, oh, watch this. Oh, but by the way, the ending shit. Or they just canceled it. I mean, it's still going. There's a bajillion episodes. Different seasons, different formats, different groups of people. I mean, there's something for everyone. Anyway, I don't know, Austin. What else did I do? I don't really think I did anything at all of note. Oh, I started watching Archer with Josh.
Oh, I haven't even thought about that in like years.
I know. We were sitting here the other day and we were trying to figure out what to watch. You know how you get when you're just like, oh, I don't know. Nothing looks good. And we were scrolling around because we only have Hulu and HBO. Not a whole lot of choices. Why are you laughing? You're like laughing at me. Like,
no. Okay. The reason I was laughing is because I was talking to Kelsey and she wanted to watch The Substance and so do I. That's a new movie.
The Substance?
That's a new movie.
Never heard of it.
We looked it up and it was on Mubi. And we were like, what the fuck is Mubi? Is that related to Tubi? It is not.
Mubi. I never heard of Mubi.
No one has.
Tubi. That's different.
Tubi. I was hoping it was part of Tubi because Tubi is free.
Mubi and Tubi. So is it not like Tubi is like TV shows and Mubi is movies? Because that would make a lot of sense.
That would make sense. But they're unrelated because these stupid streaming service names are the worst shit you've ever heard in your life.
Movie. So The Substance, is that like a horror movie or something?
I don't even know. I haven't seen it.
Is it a newly released movie?
Yes. And so Kelsey directed me to this Tumblr post.
Oh my God, Tumblr.
Okay, I think it's from this year. It says, have you seen the new show? It's on Tubi. It's literally on Hibi. It's on Pudi with ads. It's literally on Dippy. You can probably find it on Weino. Dude, it's on Gumpy. It's on Fibo Original. It's on Poob. You can watch it on Poob. You can go to Poob and watch it. Log on to Poob right now. Go to Poob. Dive into Poob. You can Poob it. It's on Poob. Poob has it for you. Poob has it for you.
Oh my God. I know Poob is not a real word, but as you kept saying it, it became less and less of a word at all.
I was looking through these. I feel like Tubu is probably a real one.
Oh my God. Because it sounds absurd. Like, do we even realize, like, the fucking absurdity that we live in every day? I don't know. I feel like if the aliens were, like, watching us, they'd be like, what the fuck? Like,
aliens, please kill us all.
Just please send a meteor or something. God damn. We wouldn't even know. Just end our suffering. You did see Don't Look Up, right?
That was
the
on
movie
Netflix.
Don't Look Up. Did you watch it?
Of course.
Okay. That's about the meteor. The meteor that comes and hits us.
Wait. Yeah, Don't Look Up is the one with Jennifer Lawrence and Leo.
Yeah.
What is the one with the family?
Oh my God, we just had this fucking conversation.
It was pretty forgettable.
With Ethan Hawke and, yes. Oh my God, Julia Roberts.
Yes, what was that?
I cannot remember. I'm so sorry. We literally just talked about this.
Leave the World Behind. That's a bad title.
I mean, It was kind of a forgettable movie, to be honest.
Okay, but I love the ending, and you hated the ending.
I hated the ending.
No, the ending made perfect sense.
You'll never convince me.
Spoilers for Leave the World Behind, available now on Netflix? Is that where it's on?
Is it even still
Is it on Hubu? Is it on Poob? It's on Netflix. Okay. Okay, spoilers for Leave the World Behind. Literally, the end of the world. Like, there's nukes going off and shit.
Sure.
And so one girl who this entire time has been distressed that Netflix is down and she can't watch Friends because she has to watch the last episode of Friends. She finds a bunker, and in that bunker, it's filled with DVDs and Blu-rays. Mm-hmm. And so while all the other characters are, like, out in, like, the chaos, she's like, fuck it. And she puts on Friends on DVD so she can watch it. And then the movie ends. That's fucking brilliant, Alex.
Okay, you're missing some context. First of all, she wanders off, doesn't tell anybody where she's going, leaves her whole family to, like, die, presumably, because the nukes are going off, and then finds this inexplicable, unlocked mansion in the middle of the woods where nobody is there, and she goes into the basement, also unlocked, finds their secret doomsday bunker where they have, like, arcade games and a big screen TV, and she just, like, sits her ass down and starts watching movies.
What is happening now in the world?
Chaos.
Pure chaos. We literally have that idiot brigade who's going to kill us all in the White House. The climate change that no one's doing anything about. We're too late. It's already passed. We're done. People are getting killed and shot in the streets. Luigi is our new martyr. Like, it's madness out there. By the way, I'm pro Luigi.
Luigi forever.
Luigi for life. And what, you know what we're fucking doing? We're doing a Pokemon podcast.
Fine. I guess the whole distract yourself with inconsequential bullshit.
That's all it is. That's all we
leave the world behind. I guess you're right.
The movie itself was not very memorable, but I love the ending.
Oh, okay. You know what? If you put it like that, the distractification of, like,
everything.
Yeah, like, you go into your own little bubble and isolate yourself against the chaos and madness of the real world because you don't want to deal with all the shit that's going on. I can understand that. That's what we do every day.
And it's specifically a young girl who was too young to be alive when Friends was airing, finding comfort in Friends because it's a nostalgic time, even if you weren't there for it. I've been watching the fucking Brady Bunch spinoffs, like...
Which I had no idea. I had no idea there were so many Brady Bunch spinoffs.
I'm watching the Brady Bunch spinoffs in backwards chronological order.
The Brady Brides is the latest that Austin sent me.
Oh, that's awful.
I mean...
It pisses me off because Jan and Marsha... Okay, the pro game. Okay. The premise is Jan and Marsha have both had a double wedding to these guys. It's all about the men. The Brady Brides themselves don't do anything. Because it's all about the men and how they're total opposites, because it's like the odd couple. But then they all move into, like, a duplex together. And every episode, I've seen three episodes, it's all about how the men don't get along. And Jan and Marsha are just, like, suffering wives who have no personalities.
That sounds horrible.
It's awful. It got canceled after one season. All the Brady spinoffs got canceled after one season.
Why did they keep trying?
Well, they don't anymore.
Well, that was years ago. I don't think there's a huge market for the Brady Bunch or related things anymore.
Well, there was in the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s were a different time, Austin.
The 90s were a time when you could hang out with your friends on your couch in the coffee restaurant.
Under
coffee
your restaurant. Apartment, that
coffee shop.
Giant apartment. Yeah, a giant apartment complex left to you by your dead grandmother with rent-controlled rent that you don't have to pay, like, but like $500 a month. All right, anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I'm spiraling. I can't face reality. I need to put my head in the sand and pay attention to cartoons that aired when I was, like, 9 years old.
Gotta love Pokemon.
Pokemon! It's always there for you.
Pokemon, our comfort show.
Oh, speaking of which, we got a question from Liam.
We did, on Instagram. Which, we answered Liam. By the time this episode comes out, we've answered Liam. However, for anybody else who doesn't have Instagram... and or is just curious about his question, we will read it off now. Liam asked, how many more anime episodes and how many more podcast episodes until Hoenn?
Johto, including the two we're covering today, I believe has 16 more episodes we need to cover. So that means we are going to be done with Johto with podcast episode 168. That's the last one.
Thank you, Austin. I cannot believe we're already almost done.
Yeah, we are closer than we've ever been.
Yeah, exactly. And also, 2 months seems to go by pretty quick. Hoenn is the best. We all know that I love Hoenn.
See, I don't think you're a big fan of the Hoenn anime, though.
Not the Hoenn anime, maybe, but Hoenn as a generation and, like, Gen 3 and the games? Like, yes. Yes, of course.
Of course, there's also Drew and Harley to consider.
Oh, my God. We love Drew and Harley on this podcast.
You know who I'm looking forward to seeing?
Everybody.
Corfish.
Professor Birch. Oh.
Sure. Him, too.
Oh, my God. I was so excited and proud of myself when I was screamed out, Professor Birch.
We'll talk about Professor Birch in 9 episodes from now. How about that?
Austin loves Professor Birch. I mean, who doesn't love Professor Birch?
The anime, like, yossified Professor Birch. They totally did.
They knew what they were doing. I mean, come on.
The other thing we got is we got, you may remember, Ben offered to give us Mad Libs to complete, and he sent those to us. So that was going to be our post episode discussion.
Thank you, Ben. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. We're going to do a Mad Libs. I love a Mad Libs. I don't know if it was like necessarily like a popular episode when we did it before with Jacob, but I sure had fun.
Mm-hmm.
Austin did not share this ahead of time with me.
I haven't looked at it.
Oh, he hasn't looked at it either. Okay, so it'll be a surprise to us. Alright, so the episodes this week are Entei at Your Own Risk and A Crowning Achievement.
And the Dragonite coin is going to tell us what's going to happen. Sorry, my voice probably got really loud as I leaned into the mic.
Lean into the mic.
Tails, you're doing 30 seconds.
Okay, I don't remember shit.
I thought you watched these this morning.
I did. I watched these this morning and like my brain is like mush.
Unmushify your brain.
Oh, God.
We don't need mashed potato brain. We need, like, scalloped potato brain. In 3,
oh, my God,
2,
potatoes.
1, go.
So the twerps are on their way to Mount Silver to bring Larvitar back. Larvitar wakes up from its nap, and Misty and Brock are like, you gotta fucking face the day. But Larvitar's like, fuck that. So they get chased by an ornery Ursaring after this and end up at a hot spring where they meet a kid named Nelson with a laptop, and he's like, I'm after Entei. Turns out Nelson has a mischievous, who knows mean look, and some Entei shit goes on. Totodile and all other Pokemon harass Larvitar. They try to catch Entei. It doesn't work because it learns Roar. And then Nelson's like, I'm gonna catch it. And then he leaves. Oh my God.
There was a lot happening.
I know. I started getting spiraling and confused and everything. There's just too much to talk about.
All right. We are walking along to Mount Silver, I guess. And we get this whole sequence that's gonna start all these episodes where Larvitar is riding an Ash's backpack. And Misty gets up in its business, and it freaks out and freezes with its Harden attack. And Misty's, like, all pissed, and she's like, this Larvitar is fucked up. And Ash is like, no, it's not. It's my little baby Larvitar. Larvitar, Larvitar. Loves only Ash.
Oh, my God. I hated this part. I had an issue with this because, of course, this was very, like, season one Ash, I felt like. Because Ash is like, oh, I know Misty's scary. And he doesn't say anything about Brock having said something. So, of course, Misty's being made out to be the bad guy here. And Ash starts, like, doing his little baby voice. And he's like, Ash will protect you from those mean people. Larvitar's still a little nervous. And I like that it only opens up to me.
Egotistical Ash.
I'm like, this is not doing Larvitar any good.
Okay, but haven't you ever had a dog or something that only liked you and didn't like anyone else? And you're like, yeah, that's right. I'm the best.
I mean, I guess it does kind of give you a little sense of like an inflated ego where you're like, oh, the cat only lets me pet it and it scratches everyone else. Or like the dog barks at everybody but me or whatever. Sure.
Realistic. Probably not best for Larvitar's mental development, but realistic. Then an Ursaring jumps out of the bushes and tries to maul them.
Is this like Ursaring breeding season again?
No, we never get an explanation. The Ursaring's gone now.
Okay, because it seemed like there was something wrong with the Ursaring, because it like jumps in the hot springs later, but like...
So, speaking of which, there are hot springs, and the twerps are there at the hot springs. A bunch of Johto Pokemon are hanging out in one of them, and Ash steps over a tripwire, and the alarm goes off. Wah, 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 wah. And I thought for sure they were like at the preserve of hot springs and it was illegal for anyone to enter this area. And how did you miss the signpost?
I'm sorry. Could I just admit something embarrassing real quick?
Yes, always.
My fleeting initial, very initial thought with the tripwire thing was, oh my God, Entei set the tripwire to alert to alert itself if somebody comes in and so it can go and hide or some shit.
Entei went to the fucking Home Depot to get the wire needed to set this up.
It's a smart Entei. I mean, come on.
Okay. So Entei, who has the intelligence of a human, has set up this entire alarm system. This Entei is named Nelson. And
oh my God, no.
Nelson talks like this.
Nelson is... Okay, so Nelson is a child. He's a human person.
Yes, he's a human person with bad hair.
Does he have bad hair? I can't remember what his hair looks like.
Oh, look up Nelson.
Okay.
You've already forgotten what he looks like. That's how, like,
I mean, he's just, like, a forgettable NPC kid. Like,
I swear, in the early season Kanto, they really went out of their way to make every character look distinctive for the most part.
Oh, my God. He does have terrible hair.
He has horrible hair. Like, imagine a person having that hair.
In real life? No.
Yeah.
He has bad bangs. Okay, let's see what trivia comes up for Nelson. Nelson, this is what Bulbapedia says. My God. Nelson is very similar to Eucene.
I thought that same thing. Also has an
obsession. Okay, this kid is not as obsessed with, as Eucene is.
No, Eucene's like an insane person.
He is an insane person. Also, he's like a grown fucking adult, and this kid's just like a little kid with a laptop, whatever.
Did they even explain that laptop? I guess he uses the laptop to like monitor the Entei sighting locations that he's looking after.
Yeah, he says that he's compiled a list of data to, like, triangulate the location of Entei and kind of uses the data to, like...
What is the data? Like, Entei shit?
Who the fuck knows?
Somehow, he's tracked Entei sign, and he set up tripwire in these, like, wild areas to, like, alert him.
You know what I was reminded of? I got major Izzy vibes.
Izzy from Digimon?
Yeah, with his little laptop.
Yeah.
His little laptop and Tentomon and stuff. I don't know.
I was thinking of that Scizor guy who lived at one of the various Pokemon Johto dojos.
Johto dojo.
And he, like, analyzed shit with his laptop.
Oh, was he, like, the guy, the kid who was like, I don't have to do any training because my super AI computer program does all the work for me. And Ash is like, no, we have to battle.
Right. So Nelson is here and he's going to get that Entei. It's his life goal. And he has a secret plan to get the Entei, but it's not here. It was just some twerps. So he's going to go somewhere else now. Bye. Okay, bye, Nelson. Then the Ursa ring from before is here. And I noticed it had a scar over its left eye. That was interesting.
Oh, I didn't notice that at all. It had a scar.
Yeah, like one of those badass scars that go over the eye.
Oh, cool.
And it does like a cannonball into a hot spring. And now it's calm. So God knows what that thing's personal story is, but it's not relevant.
I thought we were going to get some sort of, like, exposition on this. Like, what was its major malfunction? Why was it running around? Why was it angry? And then all of a sudden, it jumped in the hot springs and it was, like, chill.
Irrelevant. Not relevant at all.
Okay.
What is relevant is Ash lets all his Pokemon go in the hot springs. Except for Phanpy, who stays to the side. Tuttle, of course, immediately runs up to Larvitar, grabs it by the hand and starts dragging it around to Larvitar's utter horror.
Totodile was, like, spinning it around. He grabs it by the arm and, like, spins it around.
He was like a dog with a toy.
I know. I was like, Totodile, please, calm the fuck down.
It's kind of funny because Totodile basically throws Larvitar at Cyndaquil, and then Cyndaquil and Larvitar have the same fear reaction to each other.
Aww.
And then Bayleaf, I almost called her Bulbasaur. Bayleaf uses her vines to start rocking Larvitar like a baby because she's got a more of a maternal side these days.
I know, but she was still, like, crowding it and, like...
Exactly. Phanpy and Noctowl were kind of more normal. They were like, hello.
I mean, Noctowl kind of flies up and starts, like, hooting in Larvitar's face, so I'm not really sure about Noctowl either.
So all this is not good for Larvitar. So you know what the answer is? Let's put out more Pokemon to overwhelm Larvitar. So Misty and Brock send out all of their Pokemon as well.
Not just a small, quiet, one-on-one, like, one-at-a-time introduction. Like, hey, Larvitar, let's introduce you to Totodile. Okay, supervision. Okay, next. Like, they don't do that.
Nope.
It's all at once. Exposure therapy. Here you go.
Psyduck almost drowns in the hot spring, so he has to go into the hot dirt instead. Let's see. Onyx comes out, and he buries himself into the dirt. Nearly killing Larvitar in the process, I'm pretty sure. Or no, he needed to kill Psyduck. Never mind.
Yeah, he almost kills Psyduck.
That would have been funnier if it was Larvitar, to be honest.
Oh my god.
And then Geodude grabs Larvitar and throws it through the air.
You know, I was really shocked at Geodude. I thought better of Geodude. I'm not really sure why it was possessed to, like, push Larvitar headfirst into the sand pile, but...
We tend to think of Geodude for what very little we see of him. We think of him as, like, kind of rational and kind of, like...
Yeah, mature, level-headed.
But no, he's like, hello, Larvitar. Chuck you at the dirt.
Maybe he's just being like, oh, another little rock-type Pokemon. Here you go.
If anything, they should have introduced him to Geodude first, I would think. Geodude being a rock-type might be able to relate to Larvitar, but clearly that's not working out.
No.
Eventually, Larvitar calms down and is happy to be sitting in the sand. So all of the twerp Pokemon get up, and they make a giant circle around him. And they all start screaming at it, like, like a fucking nightmare.
This is a disaster.
This is a mess.
I know, nobody even says anything either. Like, Misty or Brock, well, I guess their whole attitude is like, oh, you need to, like, just get used to it and just start making friends or something. And Ash isn't stepping in and being like, hey, maybe we should do this, like, one at a time, guys.
No, they just throw Larvitar into the deep end. All the Pokemon are screaming at it and making a big presentation of themselves. At which point, Cyndaquil decides it's going to start problems on purpose and grabs dirt and starts throwing it at the other Pokemon.
He was making, like, dirt snowball things and starts, like, a snowball fight, which I don't know why.
He specifically throws it at Totodile first, which I thought was funny because there's kind of like a Totodile-Cyndaquil feud happening between the scenes that I've noticed.
Yeah, they kind of have a little rivalry.
Man, it's too bad. The Johto Pokemon have a bit more personality than a lot of the Kanto Pokemon. But we're still not there yet.
Well, surprising, considering we're almost at the end.
By which I mean, like, the show itself is not interested in the Pokemon and their dynamics yet. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent. I mean, we kind of got, like, the Bayleaf stuff earlier on and, like, Cyndaquil a little bit. I'm trying to think who else really has been, like, I think it was mostly, like, Bayleaf, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Chikorita had a solid storyline.
An individual personality arc kind of thing.
All the others just kind of have, like, quirks.
Yeah, but that'll change.
Yep. Larvitar, I believe at this point, is completely overwhelmed and starts screaming its head off as it does. And that causes sonic waves that make everyone's eardrums explode. This causes Team Rocket to emerge from the bushes in pain. And Meowth's like, you know what? Screw this. I have a plan. The plan is drive up in a giant Miltake-branded semi-truck and be like, hello, we're doing market research for science. We're trying to figure out what flavors of smoothies people like best. And we've come here to the abandoned hot springs in the middle of nowhere. Brock and Misty show some shocking insight in which they think, this seems suspicious. But Ash is like, I love smoothies. So he and his 7 Pokemon get in the back of the truck. And then, oh my god, can you believe it? It's actually Team Rocket.
Okay, I don't think Ash could have been dumber if he fucking tried. Because... I think, don't they, okay, first of all, when they drive up in their smoothie truck, which, like you mentioned, is very suspicious from the get-go, because why would they be there? Why?
They're not at, like, an event, or, like, a concert, or, like, a public place, anywhere.
Anywhere. Immediately when they get out of the truck, Jesse starts it out saying, prepare for trouble, and I can't remember exactly what she says, but they do start saying the motto to some extent. And nobody realizes this. And then they're like, hey, twerp, do you want some smoothies? Free, totally free. And Missy and Brock are like, that's a little bit strange. Who gives away totally free anything?
Which, that's not even true. They do stuff like this.
Yeah, but like in the middle of nowhere.
But that's the thing. They're literally in the middle of nowhere. There's a boy setting up tripwires trying to find an Entei. Like, they're nowhere.
Right? That's it. And so Misty and Brock are suspicious, but they're not suspicious enough. And Ash is just like, oh my god. And he gets in the truck. Gets in it. Even then, he doesn't realize what's happening.
No, the truck closes up behind him and speeds off. And then Jesse and James are like, haha. And he's like, oh, it's Team Rocket.
Doesn't he say some stupid thing like, you guys are Team Rocket?
Something equivalent.
Way after. Like, they're driving down the road. Like, I was like, Ash, this is insane behavior even for you.
Not one of his brightest moments, but he follows it up by ripping off Noctowl. He employs the, we gotta get off this truck, let's do Totodile, Water Gun, Cyndaquil, Flamethrower, again and again, and then burst through with Brute Force strategy. Was Noctowl the first one to come up with that?
Do you mean when it was, like, hypnotizing them?
Yeah, Noctowl commanded the Pokemon to do that once, when we first met it. Were they doing that before they met Noctowl, or was Noctowl the pioneer of that strategy?
I could not remember, although I did remember that this is not the first time we've implemented this particular strategy to escape.
Okay, I just remember distinctly, we do this all the time, but Noctowl, I think, was the first one to bring it up.
Well, in that case, Ash is not creative, is he?
No, but he remembered it. Ash's Pokemon all jump off the truck. I would have recalled as many as possible to the balls before doing so, but whatever.
Yeah, because he basically has Noctowl scoop up Phanpy and Cyndaquil, I think, in, like, each claw. And then he's holding Bayleaf, Totodile, Pikachu, and Larvitar.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, Noctowl fly out of the hole, and then Ash is like, okay, Bayleaf, use Vine Whip to grab onto...
A tree.
And branch. Swing. See, like, he should have just recalled everybody except for Pikachu, Larvitar, and Bayleaf to use Bayleaf to swing out of the truck.
Yep. Well, we've escaped. Oh, ridiculous. And Larvitar falls out of Ash's backpack because Ash's hands are full.
See? Stupid idea.
And flies through the air. All right, Larvitar's flying through the air, but a helpful mischievous comes to catch it in its little, like, wisps, hand things that it has, hair.
It's hair, yeah.
Whatever. Mischievous is an odd one. What do we think of Mischievous, by the way?
I love it. I know it's odd because, like, if you really think about Mischievous, it's a disembodied head with a necklace. Like, it's weird. It's fucking strange.
The necklace is odd, but I like how the necklace contains, like, psychic energy or whatever bullshit,
okay,
I assume.
It says...
Oh, okay, is this, okay, what does Bulbapedia think Mischievous is going to be? Mischievous is actually the spirit of a shoe.
Probably. I'm sorry, I know we shit on Bulbapedia, but literally, if you know of a better source that has the kind of information it has, just, I don't know of one. Anyway, it says it has no visible arms or legs, its lower half has several small appendages and resembles a ruffled dress, it has 5 round gems halfway around its neck, okay, used to absorb fear and uses nourishment.
What does it do with the gems?
It absorbs fear?
It absorbs, I knew they did something.
Oh god, well I mean, I guess that's a good thing, it absorbs fear, so you don't have fear, I don't know. In the side series games, its body disappears, leaving only the gems around its neck. This implies that Mischievous retreats into the gems when it has been severely weakened. Is that what it implies?
It doesn't imply that. Seems like that's independent research.
It says it loves watching frightened people and is known to yank and bite people's hair.
So, Mischievous is here. Mischievous belongs to Nelson. And now that Ash has escaped from the truck, it's time for a battle. Okay. We've forgotten Team Rocket exists because they're no longer in our line of sight. So it's a 2v2 of Ash versus Nelson, and he's going to use Mischievous. And Ash is going to use, who should he use against a ghost type? Phanpy volunteers, so he's going to use Phanpy.
Why the fuck didn't he use Noctowl?
Because Noctowl doesn't have any effective moves against Mischievous.
He could use Foresight.
Oh, I forgot about Foresight! Duh!
Oh my gosh, how are you forgetting this? He literally did this exact same thing before.
In my all fairness, when was the last time Noctowl did anything of note?
I don't know, but I'm fucking pissed that Phanpy, of all Pokemon, just decided to pipe up. Like, I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, Ash would forget Phanpy existed if Phanpy didn't pipe up.
Oh my god, he literally could have used anybody else and it would have been more effective.
Well, this goes kind of in a weird way.
It's very weird.
It beats up Phanpy pretty good, but Phanpy uses Takedown on Mischievous. And I was like typing, like, oh, Ash called the wrong move, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, wait, never mind. Takedown worked perfectly fine on Mischievous. Okay. I guess the Noctowl did use Foresight off screen somewhere.
Yeah, why does Takedown even work? Mess. It's a normal type move, right?
Mess.
It is fucking mess. I'm like, what is going on here?
Phanpy's about to lose, and you think Mischievous would land a killing blow, but instead, Nelson uses Mean Look. And Ash is like, what does Mean Look do? I don't know, but I'm going to recall Phanpy now. And guess what? Mean Look makes it impossible for you to recall a Pokemon. Oh my god.
Is this the first time we've seen Mean Look?
I think so, because they focused a lot on it.
Yeah, because just to note, Mischievous uses Psybeam to confuse Phanpy, and so Ash was going to do his cheating thing that he does, where he recalls the Pokemon and then sends it right back out again.
No, we didn't know he was going to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's a Corphish thing that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that is cheating. Anyway.
Sorry, wait till we get to that, you guys.
Presumably, he would recall Phanpy and send out, like, Noctowl or something.
Spoiler alert, we don't even get that fucking far. I don't even know what the point of the 2-on-2 was.
Because Team Rocket has to attack a second time in this episode. They show up like a bad penny in these couple episodes. Because they attack with the balloon, and they have like a hydro suction device, okay? And okay. They use the hydro suction device to suck up the hot springs. And as they do so, the hot springs apparently are an endless body of water that create a giant water spout. And there's also an endless number of Pokemon, because I saw like 30 Girafarig go into that water spout. I don't know about you.
I know. I was like, first of all, just to kind of remind you of the context of where we're at, it's literally like maybe like 3 or 4 tiny little shallow hot spring pools, and somehow they're treating it like they're in the middle of the ocean with an endless supply of water.
See mess. It for yourself. Yeah. Mess. Mess. Speaking of mess, Staryu smartly avoids getting sucked up into the hydrosuction whirlpool of death, but Pineco is not fast enough, even though it was caught in a fastball.
Poor Pineco. It tried to get away, but it's a pine cone.
I kind of wish Staryu had like knocked Pineco into the whirlpool so it could get away, but that did not happen.
By accident?
Yeah. Pineco is now stuck with all of the hot springs Pokemon, and it is eternally just spinning around. Little does Pineco know, that's all it's ever going to do for the rest of its life, starting at this moment.
You know what I was just reminded of? This moment, because I completely forgot it. When I did, I completely forgot that this even happened in this episode. Like, when I did the 30 seconds, I didn't even mention this because it was so inconsequential and fast. I was like, oh, and then that happened, and then nothing else gets mentioned about it.
Well, what happens is Brock runs into the whirlpool to catch Pineco. He is unable to protect Pineco because the wild Ursaring from before hits Brock.
Oh my god. Oh no.
That relatable moment when you're trying to save your sentient bagworm that's caught in a endless water spout of hell that's through the air being caused by a hot air balloon. And when you try to grab your bagworm Pineco that explodes, a giant angry bear slams into you and you are spiraling through the air.
You know, who would have known that the Ursaring from the very beginning would be the Chekhov's gun in this fucking episode? So he's Pineco, gonna come back.
Pineco has had enough of this nonsense.
Good God.
It's like, this animation doesn't make any sense. Why is Team Rocket attacking twice in one episode? What happened to the mischievous and the mean look? And Pineco's so done that it evolves into Fortress. And the force of its evolution causes a massive ripple effect that dissipates the water spout and sends everyone flying to the ground.
Thank God for Fortress, because if you had forgotten that this episode was actually about an Entei, well, I did too.
So. There's a lot happening.
Jesus, God. They were all over.
I feel like we're at one of those things where it's like, oh shit, Johto's almost over. Which Johto Pokemon have we not seen yet? And so it's like, Pineco evolves in Fortress.
I hated this really because we barely see Brock's Pokemon as it is. We barely see Timothy the Crobat, who's arguably the coolest Pokemon in the group at the moment. We barely see Onix, which, you know, I love. Geodude's also cool, but, you know, doesn't really do a whole lot.
He threw a baby into the dirt.
He did throw a baby
into the dirt. Grab your partner, throw him on the ground.
I guess Geodude was still caught up in the Pokemon Camp Pikachu shit. He took that literally. But yeah, we barely see Brock's Pokemon, and like, the one time we get a Brock Pokemon evolution, they couldn't even be bothered to have any kind of lead up with Pineco in the episode before this. We didn't see Pineco at all. And then all of a sudden it's evolving. And then we don't see it again.
Nope.
It's a footnote. It's barely a footnote.
I hope you like Fortress.
I do.
Good, because we're going to see it for like a long time to come.
Good. Maybe they just knew that Fortress was going to be around, so they didn't give it its due for its evolution episode for some reason, but
don't expect Fortress to do anything.
God.
Except for spin. It spins a lot.
Well, I mean, it kind of is just a big orb shaped.
Pineco was like a flop, to be honest.
It's interesting.
It had a fun concept of like it explodes when it's happy, but it never showed up, so it never did anything.
Isn't Fortress more calm? I don't think it does the exploding thing.
All personality leaves in that explosion evolution.
I guess, yeah, you're right. Oh well, poor Brock's Pokemon never gets their day in the sun.
Nope. Don't worry about Brock, because he's not relevant anymore. Instead, Entei is here.
Oh yeah, I forgot. He's here now.
All of the Twirt Pokemon and all the wild Pokemon, they all team up to stop the water spout by shooting at it. That does not work. And now an Entei appears from the mountains, and it shoots a flamethrower, and I think Team Rocket's finally gone for the episode. I could be wrong.
No, I think they're gone.
So now Entei is here, and Entei is going to be challenged by Nelson and his mischievous. So, by the way, Entei looks like shit.
Entei.
This is like a haggard Entei.
This one was, something's going on with this one.
It's the eyes. The pupils are like little slits instead of like the big expressive anime eyes.
Yeah, what's wrong with his face? What's like wrong with his hair?
The eyes are wrong. Ooh, I didn't even notice the hair. The hair looks like it's like bedhead or like sex hair.
Sex hair. Ew. Well,
compare this Entei to Entei.
Okay, I'm gonna look up a picture of like the art. Oh, okay. The official art looks like way better. This one looks like,
yeah.
What's going on with its like beard?
Oh my god, you're right. Even the beard is wrong.
And its like nose thing is wrong.
Like the proportions of its face are all wrong.
Yeah, its silver nose face thing is like really thin. That looks wrong.
It also looks a lot more lanky than it should. And I think its like big spikes are bigger than it should be.
Entei? What about the movie Entei?
The movie Entei looks cool.
Papa Entei.
Look at this motherfucker right here.
Okay, Papa Entei looks way more majestic.
Right, this image of Entei is from Non-Alien Creatures Wiki.
Non-Alien Creatures Wiki. Oh my god, he looks badass. Also, the picture of Molly riding on Entei, like, he looked pretty cool there, too.
Yeah, these two Entei could not look more different.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess their budget couldn't allow for, like, a cool-looking Entei in this episode.
This is, like, an Entei that's starving to death. It's, like, has mange. Oh. It's not doing well. It's at the end of its life.
It's wandering around the rugged mountains of, like, nowhere Johto, so...
Is that not what Entei do?
So the way they talked about Entei in this is like when Nelson was like, I'm going to catch an Entei. Like there's just, it's common knowledge that the Enteis are just in abundance. They're wandering around. So this one obviously is like, you know how you see those sad nature documentaries and you see like the old lion who's like been kicked out of the pride and it's like wandering around the plains and it's in the end of its life, like you said. That's what the vibe I'm getting with this Entei. What's this picture from that you just
said? Oh, it's also from the movie.
Yeah, it looks a lot better.
That Entei looked handsome. It looks like an Entei. And I don't mean handsome like that. I mean, like, it looks like a handsome cat. You know what I mean?
Oh, like a majestic and well-taken care of creature.
Sure. Yeah, it has, like, a shine to it. Obviously, it's a drawing, but...
It's got that movie budget.
This Entei does not have the movie budget. This Entei is the meth head Entei. Oh, no wonder Nelson is going to catch this Entei, because I think this is the one Entei he could handle.
Look at its, like, skinny little legs. Ugh.
It's not well.
It's sick. It's sick and dying. Oh, my God, y'all.
Okay, Nelson could catch this thing, because it's so weak, despite the twerp saying how strong it is. But it would have a lot of medical problems and need to be sent back to the shelter like my current foster dog does.
It needs attention. Maybe that's why he's trying to catch it, to like help it. But obviously that doesn't go so well.
No, it does not. I thought this was kind of clever. Mischievous uses mean look, so Entei cannot run. It uses some swift and psybeam attacks, but they do not work very much. They take out like one hit point. And then Entei is just kind of standing there for a while. And then uses Roar to force Mischievous back into the ball. And that ends Mean Look and it can leave. Goodbye, Entei. Go die off in a bush somewhere in like 2 minutes.
So I'm, again, woefully underprepared. And I'm not really 100% certain of the game mechanics. So please don't get mad. Mean Look stops a Pokemon from fleeing. And I know that's like a big thing in the games, right? Like when you're trying to catch the three, Suicune, Raikou, Entei.
Specifically, this is based on the fact that Entei, Raikou, and Suicune are the first roaming legendaries we've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
That's a big thing, right? You know, you catch a ghost Pokemon, you can use Mean Look on it. It doesn't run away right away. But does Roar supersede that? Like,
oh my god. I googled, does Roar trump Mean Look? And all I'm getting is psychoanalyzing Donald Trump.
Oh my god, gross. Ugh.
Does Roar stop Mean Look? How about that? Yeah, it looks like, according to PokemonDB.net, Roar or Whirlwind do take priority over Mean Look.
Okay, so basically you have to, like, what, put them to sleep?
I guess. But then sleep doesn't last for a long time.
Okay, I'm reading what people on, like, game FAQs have to say about this.
A bastion of intelligence and respectability over there.
It said the legendary will only roar if it can't run. It says Smeargle with Spore and Mean Look, Block or Spiderweb also work. Ingrain, False Swipe, Stops Roar, and Running.
Well, Nelson should have gotten a fucking Smeargle with all those moves.
Or you could use Mean Look and then Taunt to prevent a roar.
We gotta teach this mischievous Taunt.
Right? Okay. Oh my god, look at all these people with their, like, information that they have. I don't know how these different sort of strategies, I would never know. Okay, apparently here's Umbreon Mean Look with Baton Pass. Pass on the effect of Mean Look. Ariados Spiderweb with Baton Pass. Baton Pass into Mr. Mime with Soundproof. Electrode with Soundproof. Oh, anything with Soundproof because that stops Roar.
Soundproof doesn't exist yet. There's no abilities.
Oh, that's right. Never mind then. Okay, interesting. Enough of that.
All right, Nelson should have gone on game FAQs. Yeah.
Yeah, right? He's got his freaking laptop. What is he doing?
Nelson has not prepared adequately. Entei chases him off. But now Nelson's desire for an Entei is even stronger. And then I will never know if he catches the dying Entei because we never see him again. The end.
The end. A very
eventful but discombobulated episode.
It was very discombobulated. Like, the whole thing was like Entei at your own risk. And like the whole focus was supposed to be on Entei. But then we mostly ended up getting like Larvitar being bullied. Team Rocket spending way too much time in their like smoothie truck. A nothing battle. And then Entei like 2 minutes at the end.
Okay. What's funny is I actually kind of like that. Okay, we got this Entei episode, because I guess Entei needed an episode. We couldn't get, like, the star that is the real Entei, so we got, like, this shitty, washed-up, has-been Entei. And but we filled that time that probably would have been spent on, like, we're walking through the woods looking for the Entei bullshit, and we filled it with character development that was Larvitar being overwhelmed by the crowds.
Okay.
I know you shit on the fortress thing. I'm okay with Pokemon evolving in random episodes. Because that makes more sense, in a way. Because they evolve at random times. They don't always have to evolve during, like, big emotional moments after we've been focusing on them for the last 15 minutes.
Okay, this is true, but I guess I'm just a little bitter that we spent so much fucking time and energy on Politoed.
Yeah.
The evolution of Politoed. Like, that did not need to happen. Like, I would much have rather had a Pineco into Fortress episode than a Poliwhirl into Politoed episode.
Like, Pineco gets lost or something.
I don't know what the episode would be, honestly, but, like, anything would have been better. Also, the Politoed episode, I'm gonna have stuff to say about that because it makes me feel some kind of way, especially considering the episode we get after this.
Alright.
Ugh.
If you want an episode about evolutions, you got it.
Yeah, really. Any other thoughts on this before we do our MVP, LVP, and the quote that we appreciated the most?
Poor Raikou.
Poor Raikou. Oh my god. Yeah, why couldn't it have been a Raikou instead of an Entei? What the hell?
Entei gets a movie. I guess this is the first time you've seen the real Entei. And, ooh, I prefer the fake Entei. Suicune right? got a big role in the Celebi movie and also got an episode with Yusine to promote Crystal. Raikou gets its little TV movie, and I guess they count that as a TV appearance, but I don't.
I don't either. Oh well. Who's first, Austin, for most valuable and least valuable character?
I'm first.
Okay.
My MVP is going to be... I'll just give it to Fortress.
Oh.
It got a big moment to shine for, like, 3 seconds, and then, like, we forgot it existed. So, Fortress okay. It is. It's never going to be in the spotlight ever again, hardly. I got to spotlight it now while we have a chance. My LVP is going to be this Entei. We got a lot of mileage out of that, but enough's enough. It's not doing well.
No, I think it just needs to be humanely...
Put down. My quote. I had a bunch, but I'm going to go with... this. I thought this was silly. Meowth sees the Entei and he says, "Do you think it's angry? It's sort of hard to tell." Because it does always look angry. Eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I am going to give my LVP to... I'm just going to give it to Ash's Pokemon.
Oh, all of them.
Because of the way they crowded Larvitar and, like... Yes, Austin?
Do I have to list them each individually? Or put them under one category of Ash's Pokemon?
Okay, I'll just... Okay, specifically Totodile and Bayleaf. How about that?
Okay, sure.
Totodile and Bayleaf. Because Totodile just grabs Larvitar and starts spinning it around... And then Bayleaf, like, runs up and starts grabbing it and rocking it like a baby against its will. Not cool, you guys. Personal space is a thing. My MVP is going to be Brock for risking his own life and jumping into that crazy vortex of water to save Pineco. That's a real Pokemon trainer right there. My quote, you know what? Honestly, between this episode and the next one, there was, like, barely any quotable quotes. So I guess... there was one. Josh pointed out one and he thought it was like sounded sexual, but I'm like, I don't know if that was the intention. I'm just gonna say Meowth when he says we blinded them with science, because like that song.
Sure.
I blinded pop me culture with reference. Science.
All right.
I don't believe in like the other one being sexual, but whatever.
What was the sexual one?
Okay, hold on.
Or the non-sexual one?
I don't think it was sexual. Josh said it sounded a little sus, but anyway, I'll just read it. It's when Team Rocket's watching the twerps, like the antics of Larvitar and the other Pokemon. And I can't remember the exact lead into this, but James says something like, the last thing Team Rocket needs is another screamer. And no, Jesse
says, he's right.
Oh, and Jesse says,
I wrote that down too. He's totally right.
Josh was like, what did he say? I was like, is it supposed to be that? I don't know. Jesse says, what is that supposed to mean? And Meow says, when people say you got a big meowth, hate to tell you, but they ain't talking about me.
Okay, I think in the full context, it's not sexual, but James's line by itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, if you isolate the screamer part, sure.
I don't fucking scream. You're so annoying.
Right?
Sorry.
No, I mean...
I'll never understand screamers. Shut the fuck up.
Not in not an apartment living situation.
Or like, not ever.
Unless you both specifically, like, agree beforehand. But, like, I don't personally understand that. But anyway. All right. This has gotten crazy. We gotta go. We gotta move on.
Okay. You're... I'm doing a 30-second summary.
Yes. All right. So that was Entei at Your Own Risk. What an episode. Okay. Next, we are switching gears. We're going to go into a crowning achievement. Hooray. Austin is going to do the 30 seconds in a minute when I get my phone.
My phone.
3, 2, 1, go.
This is the Slowpoke Evolves into Slowking episode. And we get to like the Slowpoke Kingdom where there's like a drought or something. Or the water fountain to a crag or something, and we need a special Slowpoke to evolve into a Slowking to get the King's Rock, but it has to go through a perilous journey because there's some aggro-ass Shellder that are chomping on all the Slowpoke's tails. So Arthur the Slowpoke becomes a Slowking and splits the Red Sea and leads the Jews to paradise. And the Jews are Slowpokes, by the way.
Time! Oh my god! So, yeah, like Austin said, we are...
Maybe I should clarify. The Jews are not Slowpokes. The Slowpokes are Jews.
Yes. Red Sea symbolism.
In this moment, yes.
In this moment. But we'll get there before we can get there. We're still on the way to Mount Silver, and Misty and Brock haven't learned their lesson from last episode, and they're still trying to get Larvitar to warm up to them. Brock decides to make some silly faces at Larvitar, and this is the moment.
A legendary moment
where he does some, you know, simple, silly things where he's like sticking his tongue out, la, 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 pulling his ears. Okay. And then he fucking takes his fingers and opens up his eyeballs. And we see that Brock's eyes are just pinpricks and it's horrifying.
Horrific pupils. That Entei look bad. Brock's pupils look bad.
Brock isn't a human person. Like, I don't know if his pupils are, like, atrophied or something, but, like, it's insane.
Do you think they did that on purpose, that Brock shows his eyes like that to a Larvitar, and Larvitar starts screaming? Because it's like something has gone terribly wrong.
Do you know what I would have preferred? Like, you know how in the later episodes when, like, Brock has those animation moments where he turns into, like, a JoJo character?
Yes, that looks much better. Like, his, like, the black eyes become huge,
like giant, like anime man eyes. I think they should have had it like when he, and I know this is not the style in this particular series, but I thought it would have been hilarious if they had like had him open his eyes up and suddenly they were like giant, like twinkling JoJo sparkling eyes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know what they should have done is like somehow cut away from Brock's like face as he's like opening his eyes up, and then Larvitar screams.
But then we wouldn't know what was going on.
I guess not. Anyway, this is enough to frighten Larvitar into pure horror, and it starts screaming its head off, and Ash has to try and soothe Larvitar, which he finally does so, and as they round the corner, Brock is like, oh, now that the screaming is done, I can hear a nearby waterfall. So why don't we stop for a picnic? That sounds nice. We can have another water lakeside picnic. They race to the bottom. Ash decides to not look where he's going and falls down a hill with Pikachu, and they end up at like a dried up riverbed where a bunch of distressed looking Slowpoke are currently living. In the middle of the river, they see a King's Rock, which this is what I was talking about last episode, where I was like, I have a problem, a major problem with this episode, because they see the King's Rock and Brock's like, I'm pretty sure that's a King's Rock. And Ash is like, a what? A King's Rock? What's
he did
that?
Not. He did not say that.
Yeah, he does. He acts all surprised, like he doesn't know what a King's Rock is. He's like, a King's Rock. I don't know if you remember this, Austin. It was only a few episodes ago, but he fucking won one at the sumo conference, and they just used it to evolve Misty's Politoed.
I remember.
So I don't know why they're acting like what the fuck a King's Rock even is.
Okay, I think you're reading into it.
No, I'm reading exactly as much into it as I need to.
Okay.
Ash's amnesia gets interrupted because a couple of archaeologist-looking people walk up. And they're like, please, for the love of God, don't do anything to mess up the King's Rock, because the future of the Slowpoke depend on it. And Brock starts shamelessly flirting with this girl right in front of her dad. And we learn that this girl's name is Alice. And the dad is Professor Telesu.
Which I totally Googled and is not a name.
What is that? Is that his, like, last name or something?
Apparently.
Why couldn't he have been, like, Professor George or something? Like, why does that have to be a weird name?
It could have been an Arthurian name.
Remember that from Arthurian legend.
No, I mean, like, they could have picked, like, Professor Lancelot or some bullshit.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. Professor Merlin or something, who would be funny.
Ooh, that probably should have been it. You're right, that's it.
Well, Alice doesn't mean anything either. She could have been, like, Morgan. Morgan, or, like, Morgana or something, I don't know.
You're totally right. She's been Morgan Professor Merlin.
Missed opportunities all around. Ugh. What could have been? So, Professor Telesu is there with Alice, and Alice has a Slowpoke. And this is the only reference we get to, like, Arthurian legend, because the Slowpoke's name is Arthur, which I thought was really cute. So, they tell him about this myth of the Slowpoke, because there's, like, a mural, like a wall carving in this area.
It's a prophecy.
It's a prophecy, yeah. By the ancient peoples of Johto. And Alice is like, yeah, once upon a time, this used to be, like, the biggest lake in the area, but then there was a catastrophic earthquake, and most of the water fell into the crack, and it's gone now. So they get to this mural, and Professor Telesu is like, I have deciphered all the panels, which show the fabled Slowpoke leader who becomes the king of all the Slowpoke. They have to fulfill the prophecy, but they can't decipher the last panel, which is, like, a strange little picture of, like, I can't even, like, describe it. It's like an arch. Looks like an arch with, like, a bunch of lines on it.
It kind of looks like the Violet Badge or the Zephyr Badge.
Yeah, sort of looks like that. I mean, we all know what this is. This is obviously a reference to the waterfall, spoiler alert, but they don't seem to make that connection. Also, Professor Telesu explains that the King's Rock was supposedly a myth, but again, I took offense to this because they're just giving him out like candy at the sumo conference. So I'm like, this is not a mythical item. These are common. Apparently, I'm wrong for thinking that. Anyway, Ash, being ridiculous, claims that he thought Slowpoke could only evolve into Slowbro, despite the fact that he met a Slowking in the Pokemon movie 2000, The Power of One, if you forgot about that.
I did not.
Well, I did not either. Ash forgets everything. So I was like, Ash, you knew that there was another option, but whatever. I guess this is the first time we've talked about Slowking in the actual anime and not the movies. So before they can discuss any further, Jesse and James appear and they're dressed as a king and a queen because theme, I guess. They jump down into the cliff or into the little ravine they're in and confront them. Pikachu has a really bad showing and is somehow overwhelmed by Arbok. And only Larvitar has the power to step in and help. So it starts screaming its fucking head off again, which gives Brock enough time to help Ash blast them off again. This is when, now that all the drama is over...
I think the drama's just beginning.
Well, I guess the Team Rocket drama's over, but the Slowpoke drama's just beginning. Every so often, I guess, a Slowpoke will try and reach the King's Rock. But none of them have been successful so far, because, like Austin mentioned, every time they even get an idea or even attempt to approach the rock where the King's Rock is sitting, these Shelders go fucking crazy. And they're like, not today. And they bite him on the tail to become Slowbro. So poor Slowpokes cannot catch a break. Like, what's up with these Shelders? I don't know what's up with these Shelders.
Maybe they're angry because all their Shelder brethren were sucked up into the earthquake crag and died.
Oh, that is so sad. How long ago? Well, they said it was, like, ancient. So how long ago do we think this was?
Oh, I thought it happened a couple years ago.
Well, I thought that's when the earthquake happened, but apparently isn't... Maybe we're wrong.
Okay, here's my assumption. I think in ancient times... look what we're doing. We're making up backstories to make sense of the Pokemon anime yet again. Okay, yep. So... I think in ancient times, there may have been a drought, and a Slowking led the Slowpoke into the paradise that's, like, 5 feet away.
Sure.
And the ancient people depicted this in a mural that was available because of the receding waters. And over time, obviously, the drought ended, and the waters returned. But now, a geological disaster has caused the waters to recede for good, because now...
Again,
And that exposed the mural.
I see. That makes more sense. I think they may have hinted at that, but I was probably just not paying attention, so...
I mean, I'm making shit up. I'm also going to assume the King's Rock was underwater.
Oh, that's a good point. No, I think that you're right. I think I choose to believe that. That makes a lot more sense. These current Slowpokes are trying again to, I guess, instinctually just try to get to the King's Rock, but are thwarted because these Shelders are way overzealous and they keep jumping and biting them. They see Arthur. Okay, so like one Slowpoke tries and fails. So Arthur is like, you know what? This is my fucking destiny. I've got to do this because all you other Slowpokes cannot seem to get it together. So Arthur tries, and Arthur is like a badass, and he jumps on the rocks and he's getting towards the King's Rock. He's like flicking away all the Shelders, and then he falls into the water. Poor Arthur. Then he does something really cool and uses his tail as like a propeller. Everybody's like, what the heck? That's amazing. So he gets to the rock. Alice starts to cry because she's like, oh no, Arthur's going to get bit on the tail by a Slowbro, but he manages to reach it. Oh, he's bit on the tail by a Slowbro.
Infinite Slowbro chain.
What would happen if a Slowbro bit a Slowpoke on the tail?
Nothing whatsoever.
An abomination. Alice, okay, so she's crying because she thinks that Arthur's gonna fail and get bit by a Shelder and become a Slowbro, but he's like, nah, I'm fucking better than that. He reaches the King's Rock, the Shelder bites him on the head, and he becomes a Slow King. Amazing. Team Rocket appears to try to catch Slow King, but fails horribly. Then Arthur has his, like, Noah moment where he parts the Red Sea to reveal the secret entrance behind the waterfall that was there the whole time. And I feel like this waterfall wasn't that strong and anybody could have just walked under it at any time, but whatever.
The Telesu family is not very good at surveying the area.
Everybody know, look, anybody who's played a video game knows that you always check behind the waterfall for the secret loot crate. That's where developers love to hide secret shit. I guess they haven't played enough video games to know this. They reach the secret underground paradise, which honestly doesn't seem all that impressive to me for, like, what they hyped it up to be.
I thought it was very impressive. It made me think of Mewtwo Returns and the underwater purity lake or whatever it was.
No, that was, like, way more cool. This was just, like, a couple little, like, trees and stuff and, like, a little cave. It wasn't that crazy.
Are we going to talk about... This is supposed to be an Arthurian tale because it's a sword in the stone, but then suddenly it becomes Moses...
Oh, what did I say? I think I said Noah. Whoops, my bad.
Oh, you did? I didn't even notice. It's Moses.
Whoops, Moses.
Bible study with the Out of the Drying Pan crew.
Yeah, Bible study with Alex, who doesn't know shit about the Bible, sorry.
Noah was on top of the water.
He built the boat, okay? Yes. He built the boat with the animals.
Anyway, it was a very jarring mixing of mythology.
There wasn't really a whole lot of, like, reference to King Arthur anyway, other than the fact that his name was Arthur.
Sword
and
it was,
like, a king's rock, but it wasn't stuck in the rock.
No.
It was just sitting there. I wish there had been, like, an Easter egg or something, like, when they get into the cave and there's, like, a sword stuck somewhere.
Oh my god, Slow King with a sword.
That would have been amazing. I guess we haven't got to Galar yet. We can't talk about swords and shields and shit yet. So anyway, Arthur's like, fuck this. I'm sick and tired of being your Pokemon, Alice. I did all this because I was ready to go. So she's, like, crying and weeping and saying her tearful goodbye. Slow King could not even be bothered to show a single shred of emotion. He's just like, all right, peace out.
There's no reason that Slow King needs to stay here under the waterfall, by the way.
Didn't somebody say that? Somebody was like, I think it was Brock or something. Like, they're having this whole weeping, sad goodbye situation. And Brock is like, well, can't you just come, like, visit it?
Or can't it come with you? Why does it need to stay here?
Yeah, like, what does it have to do on a day-to-day leading the Slowpoke? I mean, they're just gonna, like, stay in the cave. Like, I don't understand.
What's it gonna do? Create a fiefdom? Like, what is...
I think, like I said, I think Arthur was just tired of being under a human's care. Like, I think he was just like, all right, bye.
Alice is kind of annoying. I would leave her too.
Well, she doesn't know shit about Slowpokes and stuff, so... Anyway, they say goodbye and leave, and that's it.
Well, they specifically say Alice and Professor Tamagotchi are going to stay here, and they're going to check in on the Slowpokes. I'm like, do y'all, like, live here, or were you just visiting? What is going on? Are you going to, like, live with the Slowpoke now? I don't understand.
I feel like they're going to come back the next day, and they're going to find that the entrance has been, like, sealed off.
Ooh, that'd be a good way to end the episode.
Like, I think Arthur really is serious, and he's like, no, you're not coming back.
Arthur wanted to get the hell out of there, and Alice will not let him.
No. You know what? I would have thought it would be cute to have a little bit more of the whole King Arthur thing with, like, Guinevere or something. Like, there should have been, like, a female Slowpoke.
There should have been a round table.
Yeah, like, a round table with, like, Slowpoke's, like, trusted friends and, like, Oh, well, I guess that was too much to ask for. There should have been, like, a holy grail. There should have been, like, an artifact. I don't know. Anyway, any other thoughts?
I distinctly remember you loving this episode when we watched it in 2012 or so.
Really?
You were like, oh, my God. Oh, Renslow, oh, God. You were, like, really invested.
Oh, my God. I think I have a vague memory of this. I think it was way more dramatic, like, the first time you watch it.
Oh, the second time you watch it. It's like, who cares?
The second time you know what happens, and so you're not as invested.
I mean, the first time you know that Arthur is going to be the king, but okay.
Yeah, of course he was going to be the king. His name's fucking Arthur. Also, a really great children's show. I recommend Thomas, and I recommend you watch Arthur.
I recommend you watch Kalu.
Goodbye, Austin. Goodbye. We cannot be friends. You can't watch Caillou. Caillou's a little fucking...
Oh, is that how you say it? Caillou?
What did you say? Kalu?
What? I've never fucking seen it. That was after my time.
Everybody knows Caillou is like an annoying little horrible child, so...
All dogs go to heaven except for the race traders in Paw Patrol.
Excuse me?
Have you never heard that before?
No.
I'm just listing random preschool shows at this point.
Is that because they hang out with humans?
I know. I think it's because they're cops.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow. What other, like, terrible... Oh, Peppa Pig.
Way after my time.
Another terrible... Okay, everybody talks about Peppa Pig in the current day. No, Bluey's the big thing right now.
Oh, Bluey's totally taking Peppa Pig's crown.
But Bluey's actually, like... I've heard good things about Bluey. I've never watched it myself, but I heard that adults also watch it, I think. I don't know.
I think Bluey, from what I understand, is it has that Rugrats appeal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're dogs, but they're children at home... And they come up with games and stories to entertain themselves with.
Sure.
So I think that's the appeal.
I don't know. I think
I don't think Bluey does, like, fantasies like Rugrats did, though.
No, probably not. As we all know, Rugrats is Tommy's, like, purgatory dream that he's having because he's dying or something. Or no, it was...
I hate that shit. It was Angelica.
It's Angelica. She's like, it's her
imagination. I don't want to hear it. It's so stupid. You mean to tell me the thing with the talking babies isn't real? Okay.
Oh my God, Austin gets so mad every single time I bring up, like, and they
all
were
just
dead
a
the
dream
whole time.
Shit pisses me the fuck off.
All right, we've lost it. We've lost the plot. I'm still embarrassed over my Moses and Noah.
I honestly wasn't even paying enough attention to you to clock it.
Well, I would pay attention when I listen back to it and be like, oh my God, I said the wrong thing.
Do you want to go back and overdub that line?
I can't remember what the fuck I said.
Okay.
No, I just got to lean into the mistake.
Just give, like, a clear Moses.
Moses. Okay, take this voice clip right now. Moses.
Now I'm starting to doubt myself. Was it not Moses?
Oh my God, it has to be. It's not Noah. He's the boat guy.
Yes, it was Moses. Thank you. I was like going crazy for a second.
Okay, please. Let's finish this with our MVP, LVP, and quote. We've already been talking for so long.
Oh my God, we got more to go too. Tails, you're first.
Oh my God. My MVP is Arthur because Arthur is so cute. I love Slowpoke. He's got a great name. My MVP is Ash for forgetting Slowking and the fucking King's Rock and the fact that we had just had a King's Rock episode with Politoed, and I'm really disappointed that they act like they've never seen one before. So Ash, not your finest moment.
I still think that's fan fiction, but okay.
It's not fan fiction. He literally acts like he's never heard of a King's Rock. I swear, I just watched this episode. My quote is, this was even worse. There were like no quotes. I have one quote. And it's not even a good one, sorry. Jesse says, they're trying to catch the Slow King with a net, but fail. Jesse says, I don't remember the part of the plan where we catch ourselves. James says, Meowth, do something. Meowth says, all right, keep your pants on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what he says.
I'm also going to do a Team Rocket quote. They're going to crash into a cliff. James says, port the helm. Jesse says, no, not port, you ninny. Turn us to starboard. Meowth says, I don't know port from starboard, which I thought was hilarious because I can never remember which one's which. And then they crash, and then they all say, it was port.
Wait, isn't starboard to the right?
I don't know. Do not ask me. I do not know.
This is where I can see if my nautical knowledge is correct.
Your nautical nonsense.
Okay, port and starboard are nautical terms for the left and the right sides of a vessel, respectively. I was right.
Well, it was port.
When you're facing the bow.
I could use a port right now. God damn. My MVP is going to be Meowth for not knowing what's port and what's starboard. Starboard. Because I can
starboard.
Relate. Starboard.
Starboard. Starburst.
I'm a motherfucking starbird. My LVP is going to be Alice Telesu for being really annoying.
That's correct.
And my backup quote was the really weird line we ended on, which is Brock saying, not many people have a king for a friend. And Alice says, that's true. One who loves me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you on about?
That was such an unnecessary line, too, because I feel like, wait, do we even see her lip flaps when she says that?
It does fit the lip flaps.
Oh, okay. Why did she say that?
What is such a weird note?
One who loves me.
I think she's trying to reassure herself that Arthur didn't abandon her, which it totally did.
She could have said something else, like one who's very brave or something. I don't know. Whatever, Alice.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Arthur's like out of there. He's like gonna seal off that entrance.
All right, go ask Alice. All right, episode done.
All right, so before we jump into the Mad Libs at the end of this episode after the outro, we have to talk about what we're doing next week.
Next up is our season finale.
Season finale?
Yes, the season finale of season 5. What a season it's been. Do you like the animation style in these episodes?
I mean, I'm used to it. I that's all I can say when it comes to Pokemon is I get used to them.
Well, get ready for a change because we got a new animation style in the new episodes. Here's looking at you, Elekid.
Okay.
And you're a star, Larvitar.
Okay, well, that's exciting. Look forward to that. Oh my goodness. We're coming up on the end, as I say, and Austin tells me we have 2 months left. So anyway, it's closing in faster than you can say Larvitar. I don't know. All right. Any other thoughts? I'm hungry. I haven't had any food.
I'm starving too. Okay, let's go.
I think my brain is mush. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait for our brains to be mush while we do Mad Libs. That's going to be fun.
Oh my God, this is going to be unhinged. Yeah, stick around if you want to hear us like embarrass ourselves at Mad Libs. Courtesy of Ben. Thank you, Ben. Well, if that's all we have, I just want to say, and Austin, of course, too, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do so at our Gmail account. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our Blue Sky account where Austin posts some really hilarious stuff every day. So go check us out. Follow us over there. Handle @outofthedryingpan. We also have our Instagram. Thank you, Liam, for submitting your question on Instagram. Again, our handle there is same as Blue Sky, @outofthedryingpan. We also have our Patreon. If you like what we do and want to support our craziness, you can check out our Patreon link. It's in the description of this podcast. We have all sorts of bonus content that you can check out, so please do that. And as always, we just want to say thank you again for listening, and join us next week as the journey continues.
Here's Ben's email. I just finished up your most recent episode, great as always, and it motivated me to finish my Mad Libs. I felt really passionate about the prompts, so I hope it elicits some belly laughs. And there's some discussion about file issues. I'm sure you can figure something out, though. You two are very bright people. Oh, well, you're wrong about that, Ben. I'm not a very bright people.
Oh, Ben, you're so very kind to say that. I have doubts about our capacity and, smartness. I say as I can't find the word smartness. Oh, what the fuck?
Okay, so yes, I was able to get the file to work. Thank you. Let's do this.
Austin's the smart one. Okay, this is a surprise for me because I don't know what's going to happen. But thank you, Ben. Thank you for contributing. We really appreciate it. I'm excited to do this. Let's do this.
What's a South American country? Oh, the prompt is Pokemon Day 2025. Wait, South American country.
Pokemon Day 20. Oh, so I have to give you a South American country?
Yes.
Peru? I don't know.
Peru.
Sure, why not?
American company with a poor reputation. I'm going to say United Healthcare.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Inconvenient North American venue.
Inconvenient? Inconvenient.
What would we consider to be inconvenient? Chick-fil-A? Like,
well, why? How is that inconvenient? Other than the fact that you always want it on a Sunday.
Panera Bread? Because it always takes forever?
I know what's inconvenient. The fucking Taco Bell near our place that doesn't have a logo on it. And you drive right by it all the time.
The unmarked Taco Bell without any signage.
It looks like, guys, okay, there's a Taco Bell by where Austin and I are. And they just did a renovation. So it used to be like an older style Taco Bell. Now it's one of their new, inexplicably government looking building Taco Bells. It's literally a black facade.
It has, no signage. It's been months and no signage.
Yeah,
they renovated it. I literally thought it was like a server farm when I drove past it.
It's a scary place. Oh, and it's also inconvenient to get in and out of because it's one entrance and exit and it's on like a hill.
That like feeds you directly into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, it's like on a hill. And so you have to kind of angle your car up to get out of this hill because there's a big bump where somebody accidentally poured like extra asphalt in the way out, so you have to like go over this it's horrible. I would say that's inconvenient.
Alex, we need to go to Taco Bell. I'm starving.
I need to go too. And
are you doing anything after this?
No. Do you want to go with me to Kohl's?
Sure.
I have to get some stuff. Okay, cool.
Okay, so the unmarked Taco Bell. Okay, anime character from Kanto. Ooh, that could be anyone.
Brock. No, I'm just kidding. No, we can't pick one of the main people. We have to pick a different person. AJ.
Ooh, AJ's a good one. Sinnoh Pokemon.
You pick. I don't know.
Spiritomb.
Ooh.
Non-Western attire.
A kimono. Ooh. Oh, I both think of that.
Well, it's like pretty, it's a basic thing that everyone knows of, you know?
Also, we're talking about a Japanese anime, so.
Yeah. An indoor location.
The mall?
Okay.
I don't know.
I was going to say Slowpoke's Paradise.
Oh, are we talking about like real life stuff or Pokemon?
No, it's just anything. The prompt is any indoor location.
The mall.
Okay.
I'm going to say the mall.
Abnormal dessert. Ooh, God.
Oh, one of those like baked Alaska things. Because you like, isn't it like on fire or something?
Okay.
What's an abnormal dessert? Hold on. Is that right?
That isn't a dessert.
Baked Alaska. Hold on. I'm going to look up what's the weirdest dessert. What's the
probably like weirdest? Whipped cream on a nipple or something.
A whipped nipple.
Spotted dick? I don't know.
That's not a dessert. Unusual desserts that rely on a shocking ingredient?
Oh, man. What? I've been in a whole journey while you've been dealing with that dessert bullshit.
What? What's your journey?
Okay. The next prompt is a Pokemon catchable on Kalos Route 2. And I was like, what? Ben, what are you talking about? Kalos Route 2. So I looked up Kalos Route 2 on Bulbapedia and found that there is a singular trainer on Kalos Route 2. And it's Youngster Austin.
Youngster Austin?
Ben, did you do that on purpose?
That had to be on purpose.
A little reference to me.
I love that. Go with the baked Alaska thing. I don't know.
Okay. These are the Pokemon catchable on Route 2. Caterpie, Weedle, Pidgey, Zigzagoon, Fletchling, Bunnelby, and Scatterbug.
It has to be Fletchling, of course.
Oh, I was going to say Bunnelby.
Fletch!
Fletch!
We love Fletchling. Fletchling's an in-joke here on Out of the Frying Pan.
Pokemon region. Any region.
Ooh. You know what? Kalos. Because I like Kalos.
Why not? Okay.
Why?
Any evolution-inducing item. Obviously a King's Rock.
Fucking King's Rock.
All right. Here we go. Pokemon Day 2025.
Oh, okay. We're done. Ooh, I'm excited. Let's go.
It was Pokemon Day and the community was all abuzz. There were rumors that Gen 10 games would come out with a region based on Peru. Ooh, I love that.
Okay. Here we go.
As the announcement started, Game Freak unveiled that United Healthcare would make low-effort remakes of Pokemon Black and White. Oh, Christ almighty.
I mean, low effort is right.
Oh, shit. Okay. You would have to pay them thousands of dollars for them to consider giving you a remake.
And then they would deny you the remakes anyway. So.
And then you become Luigi and shoot someone. Okay. Yep. Niantic then published that a community day that year would occur in an unmarked Taco Bell without any signage.
I mean, real though?
Ooh, this is fun. DNA showed a sync pair of AJ with Spiritomb. That's a reference to Pokemon Masters EX.
Okay, which I know nothing about, sadly.
Tencent revealed their newest player character, Mr. Mime, with kimono holoware. Do you know about Pokemon Unite?
Well, I do remember we tried to, like, download it one time, and then that didn't, like, go anywhere.
Well, I downloaded it.
You, me, and Jacob were gonna, like, play it, but we didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, all the Pokemon wear, like, really cute outfits.
So Mr. Mime's in a kimono? Very nice.
ILCA showed that Regirock, Registeel, and Regice would come to Pokemon Sleep with an increased chance of spawning if the player slept in a mall.
Okay.
In Pokemon Cafe Remix, Jinx would arrive with a specialty in Baked Alaska.
That somehow kind of works. Mm. I don't know. Sure.
Jinx is hot. She's got to start a fire up in here.
Ew. But no, Austin, ew. We hate Jinx.
ILCA also showed a secret rare inverse colored full art accidentally misprinted sparkling card of Fletchling.
Oh my god, could you imagine? I actually would love that, though.
The Pokemon Company International showed clips from upcoming episodes where Liko and Roy travel around Kalos in search of a King's Rock. All in all, it was a pretty cromulent Pokemon Day.
What is cromulent?
Cromulent means acceptable or adequate.
See, Ben, you're totally overstating at least my knowledge of language.
Well, I think that's the most realistic thing I've ever seen in my life, because you know it would just be like weird promotions for the mobile games and, like, nothing else of substance.
That is true.
That's exactly what Pokemon loves to emphasize, is like their apps.
We didn't talk about how, no, or we did talk about how disappointed we were, I think last time, on the Pokemon Go community day for Necrozma and how bullshit it was.
No, we talked about that extensively, actually.
Okay, good.
Don't you worry. You complained.
I complain about everything. That's the name of my game, is complaining. So, well, that was so fun. I appreciate that. Thank you again, Ben, for contributing that Mad Libs.
Do we want to do the next one today or tomorrow? Or
oh, there's week? Another one?
And okay, the prompt for this one is a fan fiction, Ash's dad in the Sevii Islands.
Oh my god, we should save it. Can we save it? We gotta make it. Okay,
that'll be next episode for our season finale.
Oh my god, I had no idea there was two. Holy shit.
Sorry, I didn't prepare you adequately.
That was a lovely surprise. Oh my god, Ben went above and beyond. Thanks for staying with us and checking out our little Mad Libs side bonus content. Super fun. Thanks again, Ben.
Next week is Ash's dad.
Next week, yeah, we'll follow up next week with our second Mad Libs. So stay tuned for that as well after the fact. And with that, I think we are going to jump off. So see you next week.